That's why we're here. The reason why we do Encounter, the reason why we're here tonight is because we want the same thing. I want the same thing for your life that I've experienced. I want you to experience that life-changing mercy and grace and freedom that only comes from one. Is there anybody in here tonight? Just raise your voice if you truly want to know what it feels like to be free. Amen? All right, you may be seated. Because we're fixing to jump into something that's... We're going to talk about some tough stuff tonight. You see, there's this word called expectation. I love to cook. I love to cook. And when people come to my house, they have an expectation of getting filled and eating good food. That expectation rests on me. Okay, that expectation rests on my ability. Well, that's not the case tonight. Whatever expectation you brought in here tonight, that's what you're going to receive. If you come in here expecting it just to be another Sunday night where you leave the same, guess what? You get the opportunity to leave the same. But if you walk through those doors or you're sitting there right now and saying, you know what? I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of living a life without purpose. I'm sick and tired of fighting the wind. I'm sick and tired of going down the same roads that I've gone down over and over and over again and not seeing any different results. If you're expecting God to do something in your life tonight, I promise you He will. What is your expectation tonight? I know what mine is. I don't just expect God to change you. I'm standing up here behind this pulpit with the promise and the hope that God is going to change me tonight. Because I know, like that song says, if I'm not dead, that means God's not done with me. God's not done with me. And if the enemy tells you and has been whispering in your ear that there's no way you'll ever get past that, there's no way they'll ever understand. There's no way you'll ever be able to be released from the clenches of that addiction or that relationship, okay, or that idea or that mentality. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Would you ever look your children in the face and say, you know what? You cannot experience joy. No, you wouldn't. Then why would our Creator do that? He wouldn't. God wants so much for His children. But that takes some work on our part, you know? So tonight, we're going to talk about some tough stuff. And it's going to put some responsibility in your hands. And there's going to be some calls to action, some things that you may have to deal with tonight that the Spirit wells up inside of you that you just really don't want to deal with. And the enemy would love for you to leave that thing dormant. But God wants to, he wants to destroy it and demolish this thing we call strongholds. And tonight, we're talking about strongholds and wounds. If you notice on your table, there's a handout. Okay, if you try to follow along with me in your book, you will be completely lost. Me and my gorgeous wife sat down and rewrote this week. Yes, we do things on the fly here, all right, but that's just how God operates. And so you'll see, there we go. I thought I was going blind. If you look on your table, you'll see that handout. That's what you're going to go by tonight, okay? You just keep it and put it in your book. And we have paired strongholds 1 and 2 together. And I know God has done something really, really anointed in what we're going to go through tonight, okay? I want to open us up in prayer that we may receive what God has for us, and that God may reveal to us what He has in store. Father, God, we come palms up. And God, for anyone in here tonight that's not palms up, God, I pray that You speak to them and meet them right where they're at. God, that we know, God, that we cling to the hope of Jesus Christ. God, that the obstacles in our life that slow us down from running the race that you've called us to run, God, the obstacles that make it so difficult to truly walk in the Spirit, God, that drag us back down the road of walking in the flesh. God, I pray that you reveal these things to our spirit tonight in a kind, gentle, yet loud way, God, that we may clearly see the obstacles, God, that is keeping us from a deeper, more unique, intimate walk with you. Because, God, when we find that sweet spot of getting to walk with an intimate relationship with you, Father, that's where our victory comes from. That's where our hope comes from. That's where our purpose and our meaning and our freedom and our peace comes from, God. Father, I pray you reveal to us individually what needs to be revealed, God, so that we may free up the freedom of our future. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're talking about strongholds. I want to jump in. I want to talk about first what our goals and focus of this section is. Listen, we're not going on a demon. We do not do demon hunts here at Timber Creek. All right, so there, I do not have no chickens in the back. There is not no wild snake, because if they asked me to deal with a snake, I'd be like, see you guys. I'm not your guy. There will be no chicken sacrificed or nothing crazy like that, okay? So you can settle in and relax. So this is what our focus on this section is not. We do not want to focus on our pain, but on God's ability to heal it. Not our pain, but God's ability to heal it. Number two, we don't want to focus on those who caused our pain, but on true and complete forgiveness. When God does it, he does everything in completion. We do not have a partial God. God does not want to partly free you up. He doesn't want to partly walk with you. He doesn't want to partly partner with you. God wants you to completely be free, to completely walk with him, and to completely experience him. God didn't create the earth partially in 6 days. It was completed. You didn't have to add to it or take away from it. You can't. Everything he does is in completion. And then we do not want to focus on the fault and blame, but on the cause and effect. We don't want to point fingers no more, guys. It doesn't matter who hurt you, why they hurt you, when they hurt you, because you've been hurt. And you can point your finger at them all day long. But anytime we point one finger at someone, there's four more pointing back. And if you keep pointing in your past at what someone else did to you, you will never be able to walk freely in your future. We want to take tonight as a step forward in moving in the right direction. We want everybody in here to leave tonight saying, you know what? I don't have to carry that junk no more. I've identified it. I don't have to wear that weight no more. God did not intend you to wear the weights that you are wearing. He intended and created and built us to wear his yoke, because it is light and heavy. It's light and easy. It's not heavy burdened. The things that we wear that the world puts on us, that the enemy brings in our life, it weighs us down. Have you ever been in a wrestling match at a swimming pool with like a brother, something like that, sibling? When they get you underwater, you're not fighting to get them off of you. You're just fighting to get air. Does anybody's life feel like you're just fighting to get air right now? Huh? Be honest with yourself. There's days that I feel like I'm fighting to get air. Well, God wants to fill us tonight so that we can finally breathe. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to drown anymore. That is one of the most sickening feelings you have ever experienced, is when your uncle is holding your head underwater thinking it's a game and playing, and you're starting to pass out. Then you come up and you take that big gasp of air. Some of y'all in here tonight need a big gasp of air. because you're drowning. You're drowning. And God's finished work on the cross. God's finished work on the cross through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, when Jesus Christ, if you get anything, get this tonight, because this applies to every single thing in your life. What Jesus Christ did on the cross was not just for your salvation. He did not send his son just so you could barely, so you could be saved and barely etch into heaven. His cross, the completed work of his blood staining my cross and your cross and defeating the grave, was so that we may be free, so that we may have power, so that we may know peace, so that we may know purpose, so that we may know healing. That's what the cross was for. It was not just for salvation. Okay? Yes, it was for salvation. Thank God, because if he wouldn't have done what he did on the cross, we would have busted hell wide open. But God didn't come just to save us. He came to save us with so much more. That's how big God is. That's what our focus is going to be on tonight. So when you say, how do I do this? The completed work of the cross. What does this look like? The completed work of the cross. There's nothing that you can bring to me or anybody else. There's nothing you'll ever bring to the feet of Jesus. And he doesn't say, I've already accomplished that for you. The cross was for victory, guys. Guess what, encounter? You don't have to wonder if we are going to win. The battle's already over. The battle's been won. Imagine going to a ball game. Imagine going to a ball game. You're on the team. I don't know, soccer. Is soccer a sport? Yeah, soccer's a sport. Uh-oh. Tennis, whatever. And knowing the outcome of the game, you knew walking on that soccer field that the outcome of the game was like 40-0. And that's a lot for soccer. That's like almost impossible, unless you got Pastor Steven on your team. But if you walked on that field knowing, I got this in the bag, I'm victorious, you would play that game a little differently, you know? You'd hold your head just a little higher. You'd support your team just a little bit more. You'd listen to your coach just a little bit more. You would run that race a little stronger because you would know at the end of it, I cannot be defeated. Well, guess what, Christians? That's what we get to do as believers because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We are in a battle that we already know the outcome of. Y'all did not hear me. We are in a battle that we already know the outcome of. You are victorious. Yeah, that's something you want to clap about. Why? Because Jesus did something for us that we couldn't do so that we may experience these things through his blood. So whatever comes through your head tonight and your heart and God and the Holy Spirit begin to reveal to you and you say, I can't deal with that. God says, yes, you can, because I've already done it for you. The stripes on my back, those were for you. The crown of thorns that was shoved on my head, that was for you. The nails that was driven in my hands and my feet, that was for you. The lashes that were come out of my back, the beating and the whipping and the carrying of the cross, that was for you, so you don't have to. So whatever God illuminates to you tonight, you can look at that and say, you know what? I can't overcome of this, not because of who I am, but because of who he is and whose I am. Amen? Because of whose I am tonight. Let's keep going. I stay there all night. Our focus in this section is the power, healing, and restoration that is now ours should we choose to accept it. There's the key words, guys. Should you choose to accept it? Because I've made that statement, everybody in here tonight has a choice. What will you choose? What will you choose? Will you choose to get in the trenches alongside our Creator, alongside our Father, our Advocate, and say, you know what? I don't want to fight this fight no more without you. I don't want to walk this walk without you no more. because I know you created and called me to do so much more and be so much more, and I'm ready to get in the fight with my Father. You have that choice right now moving forward. Let's look at our key scripture real quick. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, okay? It's talking about our weapons of warfare. All right? I love spiritual warfare because I've always been a battler. I've always been a fighter in some form or fashion. All right? And this right here is God. This is our game plan. This is where God's showing, hey, here's your game plan. Here's a roadmap. This is how you fight, believers. You want to be victorious. Here it is. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Before God, the weapons that we possess are weapons that God equipped us with. Y'all fasted last week. Guess what? That's a weapon that God equipped you with. Right? The weapons that we have, all right, God says, I'm going to put these in you so you can demolish strongholds. Listen to how the message reads it. This is powerful. It says, the tools of our trade are aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. It says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. It says our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. God wants us all to daily grow. And he gives us weapons and tools to do that. And the enemy does not want that to happen. So he comes against us with his own forms of weapon. And if you are trying to fight the enemy with this, you are losing. Because you cannot physically whip a foe you cannot see, you cannot touch, you cannot catch. And God knew that. So he said, I just win it for him. But I'm going to give you the weapons along the way. See, he didn't give you the weapons along the way so you could possibly be victorious. God gave us the weapons along the way so we could withstand the things that we deal with and dig our feet in. And we'll talk about the armor of God later. And dig our feet and withstand the trials and the things of the enemy, because why do we need to win a battle that's already won? But this corrupt world that the enemy uses to try to destroy our minds and the way we think, the way we raise our children, the way we treat our wives, the way we treat our brothers and sisters and our neighbors, this corrupt way of thinking, God knew we were going to deal with it. Peter and Paul dealt with it. So God says, I'm going to equip you with life-giving tools to destroy this thing and make a pathway so that you may grow into mature, obedient children of God. I'm raising three daughters. I don't want my daughters to stay in my house forever. I'm not raising them to stay home. I'm raising them to launch them into the world to be productive, God-fearing women for God to be productive in society. God didn't call us to get saved and just sit still. He called us to go out and make a difference, to change our community, to change the people at our job, to change our homes. And he knew we'd be battling a foe that was greater than we were. But he says, I'll give you weapons that he cannot refute. And you want to know where those weapons are? It is wrapped up in this beautiful thing called the Bible. This powerful, powerful book, instruction book of life called the Bible. And it gives you every roadmap you'll ever need to deal with anything you've ever dealt with. So what are strongholds? What are they? Here's the definition of a stronghold. It's speculations or imaginations, okay? Reasonings, thoughts, and imaginations that precede and determine our conduct and decisions. Well, what does that mean? And imaginations that proceed. That means it goes ahead. Okay? These are things, and we're going to look at it, what we've been taught, how we've seen things, perceived things, all different things. We're going to look at that here in just a second. That go ahead of us and determine how we act and how we make decisions. The reason I'm a heavy set guy, is not because I was born a heavyset guy. This is just the truth. It's because I was a food addict my whole life and didn't know it. And that mindset went ahead of every single thing that I did. And I wouldn't do nothing that didn't involve food. I felt comfort in it. And it has created something. It created something in my life that has brought destruction in certain areas of my life. But listen, it was a stronghold. Right? And I've identified where that stronghold came from. It was how I was raised. But it doesn't make it right. I can't say, well, that's just the way I was raised. Because it doesn't change the fact that I destroyed this temple that God has given me, right? It was a stronghold in my life. And it went ahead and it determined so many decisions of my life. I missed out on so much. So much. And now I'm trying to play catch up. Playing catch up's tough. We're getting there, but it's tough. Mike Bickle says this. He says, strongholds are a collection of thoughts that are lies against what God has revealed about himself and about you. Strongholds will always try to set itself up against the Word of God because the Word of God is the only thing that can refute it. Because when we, listen, when you figure out who God is, number one, and who you are in Christ, the enemy better watch out. Because when you realize, I know what God done for me and who I am, who he's called me to be and my purpose and the plans that he laid out before laid out for me before the beginning of time. And I know that he's my coach and I've got the greatest playbook in the Word and the Word of God. And I know that I am a son of God. I am not an adulterer no more. I am not an addict no more. I am not a divorcee no more. I'm not from a broken home no more. I'm not angry no more. I don't want to fight everybody that walks in my path. I have learned to trust and I have learned to honor. And you want to know why? It's because I finally seen my reflection in Christ and quit looking at the world's reflection of myself. Amen. The world will tell you all day long you're useless, that you need that drink or that pill, or that job, or that relationship to have identity. It'll tell you that you need that secret hidden sin behind that closed door. You're not hiding anything from God. That's going to be your comfort zone. That's going to be the thing that gets you to the next level. That's what's going to get you through the days when things get tough. I did it for so long. And I finally realized, you know what? When God made me, he said, that one right there, Justin Lindsay, that one's mine. That one's mine. And I got a purpose and a plan for him. Cannon, when he made you, buddy, he said, you know what? That one right there, that one's mine. And I got a plan for that young man. If you're sitting in here tonight, God says, that one's mine. And I'm not done with you yet. And I have a plan not just to prosper you. I have a plan for you to be a game world changer for the kingdom. But we might need to deal with some stuff first. Amen? Amen. All right. The last one calls it a fortress of thought. This one rattles me. It's an imaginary, invisible prison that controls our mind. An invisible prison that we can't see and we don't know it has us imprisoned. That's what strongholds do to us. It consumes our mind and our heart and our life. It becomes our DNA and we don't even know it. So we're going to look at some characteristics of strongholds. Listen, we're not just going to talk about strongholds. We're going to talk about how to deal with them too. We'll never bring you in here. Do anything at Timber Creek. We'll never ask you to come in here and listen to these tough things about what a stronghold is without giving you a plan. God does not have a story in a Bible without a plan of redemption. God will walk into the middle of a storm with you. You want to know why? Because that storm in that valley shows you who he is and who you are. It reveals your true character.
God doesn't walk around valleys. He walks through them with us. And he walks through them with us so that we can truly know who he is. God wants to walk through these valleys with you tonight. So number one, you can identify this problem. Identify these issues in your life, and then God wants to free you up from them. That's what God wants for this class tonight. That's what God wants for all of his children. So let's look at some characteristics of strongholds real quick. Number one, strongholds are habit structures of thought that exist in the area of our own soul, our mind, our will, emotions, and our personality. It's a thought thing. Is it not crazy how powerful the mind is? My mind can talk me into anything. It can talk me into good things, and it's talked me into a whole lot of bad things. Strongholds are habits, all right? We're going to talk about what habits are, all right? It's something you repetitively do. But strongholds are habits that basically retrain the structure of your mind to make you act a certain way, to make you respond a certain way. Number two, characteristics. Strongholds are habitual lies that we have embraced at the core of our innermost being. That word habitual, listen, this is what a habitual lie is. It's lies that regularly repeat themselves. As I sit here and say that, what's stirring in your spirit? What's that lie? I'm fixing to walk you through something here in a second, a story in my life. Of lies that repeated himself and repeated himself and repeated himself. Listen, if it is not of the word of God about you, it's a lie. It's a lie. It doesn't matter what you've been through in your past. It doesn't. It doesn't determine who you are. Jesus Christ and our identity in him determines who you are. It says they embraced at the core of our innermost being. This is what we want to tear down tonight. We want to begin tearing down this innermost being that we cling to. And it says, well, that's just me. See, it says they are built by a foundation of lies and half-truths. Listen, half-truths are lies. There's absolute truth. And then there's everything else. God says in the word, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He doesn't say anything about maybes. Half-truths are lies, guys. Okay? But it says they have become a fortress of thought or an invisible prison that influences the way we respond to the truth about God's character within us. Okay? That influences the way we respond to the truth about God's character within us, the character that we receive the day we receive salvation. Listen, it is not if you've been lied to. It's not if you've been through tough times. It's not if you're going to be lied to again or if you're going to go through tough times again. We are all going to be lied to. We are all going to go through tough times. We've all been lied to, and we've all been through tough times. It's not about that. Okay? It's how we respond moving forward. And not just, listen, not just to the bad, but to the good. Your first call of action is how are you going to respond tonight? See, there's some of you right now sitting in that chair. I know because I was there. Clinging to it and says, I'm not letting that go. I'm not going to share that. There's no way they'll understand. I'm not ready to let that go just yet. That's a stronghold that's clinging you to death. And the reason why it's clinging to you is because it does not want you. The enemy does not want you to know the truth. He does not want you to experience what it is to be free, because if you do, you'll be detrimental to the gates of hell. So he says, you know what? If I can keep stirring up inside of them, if I can keep them in that rut, If I can keep them chained up in their mind, imprisoned by something they don't even see. If I can keep them bound up like that, then maybe they won't experience the truth, because I know if they ever figure out the truth of who they are, they're going to wreck my world because of what God's called them to do. They're going to be the one that changes their community of friends. They're going to be the ones that stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to lead my family the way God calls me to now. I'm going to love my wife and restore my marriage the way God called me to. I'm going to be the example of my children so my children do not have to go down the same roads that I went down. You know, tonight, you can make a decision to destroy what your kids have to deal with. That's how much power is in this. You can destroy the very things so your kids don't. My kids do not have to go down the roads that I went to. You know why? Because of who I am in God. And because of what I relinquished to God and said, here, change me. And he's beginning to make me who he's called me to be. And he's changed my mind and the way I think and the way I respond. The way I respond to their mama. Finally, I'm excited about my kids finding a man like their. I can rest that knowing that if they pursue a man like me or a man like me pursues them the way I am now, that my kids are going to be taken care of and be loved the right way. Do you want that for your kids? Dads, what do your sons see in the way you talk to your wife? If your sons was to love your wife, their wife, the way you do, would it be pleasing? Would it be healthy? For a long time, I wouldn't have been. That's the power that we're talking about tonight. That's the ruts, some of the ruts that the enemy. My daughters don't have to be addicts no more. I don't have to put that on them anymore. I got to show my kids what it means to walk in humility and restore a marriage so they can see what a healthy marriage looks like, so they can say, you know what, I want that and I won't accept anything less. I don't know about you, class, but that's what I want. That's what I need. And not just for my children. That grip of pride that some of you are holding on to right now that's got you white-knuckled, yes, I'm in your business right now. You want to know why? It's because I love you. That's why. And I have no problem boldly sitting up here and saying it like this, because if someone wouldn't have told me, where would I be? I don't know that I would be here today the way I lived. But that white-knuckle pride that you're hanging on to right now, that says, no way I'm going to be vulnerable in that area, that is a stronghold robbing you of your peace and freedom. It's got its claws dug into you and says, no, you cannot let that go. Yet the Father sits awaiting, and he says, all you got to do is give it to me. All you got to do is give it to me. It's mine to begin with. Give it to me.
So let me look at this tale of two paths real quick, guys. Let's jump over to that, the tale of two paths. Did I miss something? No, we're good. We're going to look at the tale of two paths real quick. It's in your manual. It's in your book. All right, basically, guys, every one of us have this scale in our life. The first one is, listen, everybody had hard times come, lies about you, God, and others that are presented by the enemy. Then we have a choice. We can believe and come into agreement with the lie, or we can reject it and choose to walk truth. All right? If we believe and come into the lie, over here to the left, these are your results: hopelessness, confusion, defensiveness, distrust, suspicion, anger, and sinful habits. But when we cling to the truth, there is belief in the good of others, the goodness of God, trust, joy, and peace. And I'm going to briefly walk you through my quick story. So here's a section of my hard times. My mom left me when I was 2 years old. Up and abandoned me and my brother, left me to be with my dad.
I remember a story of my dad driving to the top of the hill where we live with a pistol in his mouth. And the most unlikely best friend suspect of his talked him out of taking his life because it about destroyed my dad. My dad does what most people do. He jumps into the next relationship, the next thing smoking. He remarries. She cheats on my dad. She leaves us. And my dad remarries again the third time, and he remarries the most amazing woman I've ever met outside of my wife. And we lose her to cancer. So I have been raised by a single dad my whole life, women in and out. This is just one section. But those are hard times for a young man trying to grow up. When I finally got this woman figure in my life that had some foundation, she got diagnosed in December. We buried her in February. It happened that quick. I didn't know how to respond. So here's a choice. This is what I believed, and I embraced this with my core. I believed that I was unworthy. I would not trust anyone, nobody. My value was based off performance. I believed that I had to look a certain way physically, and I did not look a certain way. I was a little fat, chubby kid my whole life. I didn't look a certain way. So I lost value for myself because I didn't think anyone else valued me because I wasn't doing enough. I chose my physical appearance over my true character. And I always had in the back of my mind, well, she's going to leave too. Every relationship, I was waiting for the hammer to drop and for them to walk out. And time again, they did. Time and time again, they did. Here's what happened when I believed the lie. It pushed me into a life of adultery. I'm transparent, guys. I'm going to tell you my story, and this is why. Because if my story and transparency can speak to you and change you, praise God. This is not, listen, I'm not bragging on this because I'm ashamed of this, but God says, you know what? I'm going to use the very thing the enemy was going to try to bury you with for your platform, son. That's what he wants to do with every one of y'all in here. So here's the path of lies. Adultery, when I was 18 years old, I started dating married women. I pursued them. You want to know why? I was trying to find a mama. I was. If you was older and had kids, my first two were older, way older than me and had kids. You want to know why? Because I was desperate for a motherly figure in my life because I never had that value. And the time that I did have it, I lost it. Toxic relationships. Because I seen what my dad went through, I thought that's just the way it was, right? Well, this is how my dad had to do it, so this is what's in line for me. I was an addict. A lot of y'all don't know, I did my first line of crystal meth when I was 17 years old and my last when I was 21, 22. Gripped by the idea of it. Because that's who I ran around with. Because as long as I was performing, I had value with them. Angry, the meanest, maddest person you'd ever meet. Because I hated me. Because I didn't know me. I fought. I destroyed relationships. I turned people around. I became the toxic relationship for people. And then I lied. I would lie to you. My gosh, I got my tail tore up so much for lying, and then I took it. I lied because I thought I needed to tell people what they needed to hear. Because if they ever saw who I really was, they'd be gone, right? But if I could write something right here, I'd write "but God" between them two. And this is why. This is what happens when we embrace the truth of who Christ is and who we are in Christ. I realize I'm valuable, not because of how I act, because of what I can do or what I can bring to the table. I'm valuable because Jesus Christ said so. I'm valuable because he says, you know what, son, as wretched as you are, that was your cross I climbed upon. That's how much I love you. Restored. He restored things in me I never thought possible. He restored a desire in me to trust. He restored a destroyed, self-destructed, because of what I went through. That's a whole nother story in itself. But God fixed it. And if you're in here tonight and you're standing on the edge of quitting and giving up, don't. God's class. I found new purpose. I found true freedom. And true freedom was not that my bank account looked a certain way or my house looked a certain way or my friends looked a certain way. True freedom was no matter what, they can come get everything I got, which ain't much. But they can come get it on. But you know what? They can't take from me my freedom in Jesus Christ. You cannot take it from me. I didn't earn it. It was given. You can't take it. And then I learned that there's power in vulnerability, guys. Pastor Stephen's my direct report, but he's also one of my best friends. And I get to set in sessions and be completely vulnerable with him. And in that vulnerability is where I have grown and received more power, because you want to know what? I can look at this man that's an executive pastor here, and he know what? He said, you know what? Me too, Justin. Me too. There's power in me too. Anybody sitting in here tonight, whatever you're dealing with, guess what? There's somebody in here that can look at you and say, me too. And that vulnerability, when you're willing to open up and share, and you're willing to open up and deal with it, I promise you, when you're willing, God will meet you right where you're at. Let's wrap this up real quick. Number three, strongholds exalt themselves above the knowledge of God and give demonic forces a secure place to influence our mind, will, emotions, and personalities. Exalt means, listen to this, it means to enhance the activity of. So strongholds wants to enhance the activity of themselves above the knowledge of God and give demonic forces a secure place to influence your mind, will, and emotions and personality. That way it goes ahead of you and sets a road of destruction. And the reason why it sets itself up against the knowledge of God, because it knows. The enemy knows God so well, it knows if you ever truly get the knowledge of God down in your heart, that he doesn't have a foothold no more. That his foundation is not just shaken, but destroyed. Because when you can take anything and you can stick it up against the truth and the word of God of who you are, it cannot refute the word of God. It cannot overpower it. There is not more truth. There's more, not more wholeness. The word is whole. It is full. It is complete. And everything the enemy throws at you is half-truths, which are lies. He says, it calls him the father of lies. He does not have the capability of telling the truth. So as you're sitting here dealing with this thing right now, it's a lie that you don't need to let it go. That's a lie. That's a lie. The truth is God wants to gently but powerfully meet you where you're at and say, here, let me have that, son. Let me have that, daughter. Let me walk through this with you. Number four. Strongholds are wrong motivations and attitude that protect and defend a person's walk in the flesh. See, this one is tough because it's hard for the person to see and understand what truly is motivating their habits and behaviors. It is normal for them to be highly protected. I remember this come to me earlier today, and this is something I've kind of put in my past. I talked about my struggle with food. Listen, addiction's addiction. Drug addiction, alcohol addiction, gossip addiction. Addiction is addiction. And I can tell you, food is one of the toughest things to be addicted to, because you can get it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and then it gets law. Step away from the fries, big boy. Let me have that, yeah. Lay that apple pie on the hood of your truck and put your hands behind your back. It's never happened. And it never will. It should. There should be a food police. But I remember my wife, she's always been pretty fit and always taking a lot better care of herself than I have. And she would, in the right way, encourage me about eating a certain way and eating too much and being active. And I would smooth, get sideways on her. I was protective over that because I did not want to deal with the truth. You want to know why? Because I thought it made me look weak. Yet the very thing that I thought made me look weak was destroying me and making me weak. I fought her on it. And you're saying, oh, that's not that big of a deal. It is that big of a deal because it hurt a lot of areas in my life. Huge deal. You can take and insert anything in there, food, drugs, gossip. Like I said, work. You may be a workaholic. I don't know what it is. Whatever you're dealing with. But when you bow up and get proud about it and say, nuh-uh, you're not touching that. That's a stronghold exposing itself. That's a stronghold exposing itself. So the thing that someone asks you about and you get all defensive about, maybe time for some self-reflection in that area. Number five, strongholds can lie so deep within our soul that we don't recognize or identify certain motives or behaviors as sin. Instead, we take on attitudes toward these motives and behaviors that say this. Does any of these sound familiar, guys? That's just the way I was raised. That's just my personality. That's just who I am. It's part of my culture or my family background. It is the way I was raised. Lindsay's weak. We went through divorce. We got left. We eat too much. And we were always mad. And that's why I was raised. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't justify my actions and the way I responded to things. It actually, more than anything, destroyed the right response and the right way I should respond to things. Number six, strongholds can keep a person from experiencing true repentance and ultimately changing. Do not let that word repentance scare you, guys. It just means to turn. It's not some big, long equation that I've got to do this and do that. God just wants us to do this. If you're walking down a path of destruction, he just wants you to do this and walk the other way. That's it. That's what repentance means. It means to turn because God wants us to change. Number seven, strongholds have a sick, infectious core or center like a boil on a person's body. From this point, they can send forth twisted thoughts and emotions throughout the soul. They consume so much of us in our lives, we can't even see how much damage is done in us and others. We can't even see the destruction around us. And then number eight, last one of this section, it says, strongholds are often the culprits behind negative thought patterns and bad habits in our life. This is where your self-reflection needs to come into play. So that's what we're going to do. We're fixing to turn up some music a little bit. We have a time of a table time of discussion. All right, we're going to take about 5 to 7 minutes here, and that's what we want to do, guys. You have these questions in your handout, and it's, hey, listen, like I said, you're going to get out of this what you want to get out of this. And if you're honest with yourself tonight, I promise you, God will meet you where you're at and you'll get something out of it. So what have you declined or turned down or let go due to a stronghold? What have you tolerated and excused just so you can do this, 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 and this? And what reactions do I have that stem from past experiences that have formed a stronghold? Let's take a little bit of time, guys, at our tables and discuss with our table host or by yourself, whatever you feel comfortable, and we'll come back in just a second. Guys, yeah, we want to continue to honor your time. If you will, we'll kind of get back rolling. I've got I got something very special we want to do real quick. The young lady that's coming up to the stage, she's on our team. Her husband's on staff here. He's over our young adults. And Karen's been a vital part of Encounter for a long time. And she come back on the team this year. And she's going to read something that God put on her heart a couple weeks ago. And if you ever wanted to know that God speaks through us when you write, I challenge you, I petition everybody to truly put your pens down, drop the rustling of your papers, and I want you to lean in and listen to what Karen has to say. It is, when she sent it to me, it brought me to my knees. It's beautiful. It's powerful. And I love that God speaks to his children in this unique way. So, Ms. Karen.
A stronghold can be a false sense of peace because we see it as a shelter, a fortress that we can control and camp out in. Our strongholds are like treadmills. We feel secure on the treadmill because we can control the pace and incline of our circumstances by pushing a button. We can adapt how fast we go, and we can even stop if we just don't feel like working. We are secure in the fact that we won't have to go down an unknown place. And if we get too uncomfortable, we can just adjust the settings on the treadmill to fit our needs. But the treadmill is a lie. It is a false sense of security. While we can control some aspects of our experience, we never truly move. We move our bodies step after step after step, but we remain in the same place. The fear of being stranded on a long-distance walk or run often keeps us in the comfort zone of the treadmill, repeating the same steps in the same place, but never moving. Never advancing towards who we were meant to be and where we were meant to go. Getting off of the treadmill and following God's lead is hard. We give up control of the pace and the incline. We give up security of knowing exactly where we will be at any given time on our journey. But through the highs and lows of the path God wants us to travel, we will 100% of the time be closer to God's purpose for our life than if we stay on the treadmill. True peace is not cultivated by our ability to control our circumstances, but in our ability to trust God and move out of our comfort zones. I'll say that again. True peace is not cultivated by our ability to control our circumstances, but in our ability to trust God and move out of our comfort zones. We have to get off of the treadmill and start walking the path God has directed us to walk. That path does not give details on every valley or mountain. It does not give details on the length or difficulty level, but it does have a compass, which is God's word, to point us in the right direction. It is our choice to use that tool, trust that God is directing us, and start taking steps in that direction. Encounter is that next step. And that next step is not complete without the retreat. Guys, we don't expect a doctor or a surgeon to stitch up a wound while we are still moving around. We have to be still and let the physician work. This retreat is an opportunity for us to get still and allow the great physician to stitch up and heal those old wounds. You do not want to miss out on the retreat.
She said something. She repeated a line in here twice. And when I read this, this resonated in me because I lived such a life of chaos. When I experienced what peace was, it's something I never wanted to let go. And it says, true peace is not cultivated by our ability to control our circumstance, but in our ability to trust God and move out of our comfort zone. Why do I reread that? God is calling each and every one of us tonight, tomorrow, on a daily basis to quit relying on our own capability to lead our life, our own capability to produce peace, our own capability to produce substance, our own capability to produce anything in our life outside of Him. He's saying, step out of that comfort zone that you sit down in with your buddies and it feels good, it's normal. Step out and be different. Step out and trust me. God is calling you tonight, Encounter, to step out and trust to Him in every area of your life. Now, we're not asking you just to just throw it all out there. And it's a process. But that first step is saying, okay, God, I'm willing. Some of y'all just need to take the first step tonight to say, you know what, God, And it doesn't matter if you've been in the ministry your whole life or this is the first time you're ever hearing the gospel. It does not matter. God just says, I want you to do this. Everybody put your palms up. Palms up, please. That right there is the most second most powerful position you can be in. Because this says, God, I'm willing. But this says, God, direct me. God, I'm willing. This is the most powerful position you can be in, is God, direct me. God just wants you to trust him tonight, okay? Well, let's go into this second half, God, and we'll wrap this up. So we're going to talk about real quick about the strongholds as habits, how they kind of really kind of expose themselves and show themselves to us. You know, everybody in here knows the bad habits you have and those tics and those things that you do that drive your spouse crazy. There's things that I do that drive me crazy. I'm a counter. And if y'all know what I'm talking about, I have count those window panes up there 1,000 times tonight. I can't help it. It is crazy. I've counted the sequence of the chairs. I counted the vents. I'm a counter. All right? And I may need a counter to give me a break from counting. I don't know. Did you amen that with me? I heard you. That little quiet voice is powerful. It's a habit. It's something I do over and over and over, and it's become such a habit, it happens without me even having to, just a natural, it's natural. I don't have to think about it. It just happens. Well, that's not a terrible habit to have. It drives me crazy at times. And I'm sure it drives people crazy that are talking to me. If there's a bookshelf behind you when you're talking to me, I am counting. It's crazy. But there are some habits in my life that were absolutely destructive. And I still have habits in my life that I need to destroy, that God's working on. All right, so let's look at habits. Strongholds is habits. So here's basically, so strongholds, your first thing, like, strongholds are often the guilty culprits behind many of our habits. This is what a habit is. It's an act repeated so often that it becomes involuntary. There is no decision of mine each time the act is performed. And this can be good or bad. There are good habits. Right? And I encourage everybody to get those good habits, those routines in your life. I watched a deal on Jerry Rice, all right? And I watched his training. And one of his habits was he ran this hill, okay? And if you don't know who Jerry Rice was, he was a receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. But he ran this hill a certain way every time. It was insane to watch it, but it became a habit to no matter what he was doing during his training season, he always ran this hill. That's a good habit, okay? Brett Favre, on the other hand, got addicted to pain pills. All right, I don't mean to put Brett Favre's business on the street, but that's a bad habit, okay? So there's good habits and there's bad habits. So don't knock the word habit, but let's focus on the good and the bad. But tonight we want to look at those ones that are really enabling us for moving forward with Christ. Stephen Covey says this. Stephen Covey, this is one of my most favoriteest all-time quotes ever. It says, habits are powerful factors in our lives. Our character basically is a composite of our habits. Our character, guys, is who we are. It's what people see. It's just what kind of makes us up. That's what our character is. And it is a composite of our habits. And it says, as the maxim goes, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. That's powerful. We sow it, we think it, and then we put it into action. And when we put it into action and we begin to put it into action, whether it's good or it's bad, then it becomes a habit. And from that habit, you develop this characteristic. It begins to show in your daily walk and in your character. And from that character, you can reap a destiny. I had to change the bad habit of filling my mind and my heart with things of the world and begin to fill my mind and heart and make a habit of pursuing God's word. And as I begin to pursue God and to begin to pursue God's word through prayer, through worship, through studying the word, it began to replace those old nasty ways of thinking, those old nasty thoughts, and the way I processed things and the way I responded to things. I had to change my habit. What is the saying? It says it takes
11 days to create a habit, 21 days to break one. So if you're in here struggling, I just a small nibbit, and you don't study the Word of God every day, the first 15 apps, one of the most, it's a great starting point. It's 5 minutes of worship, 5 minutes of devotion, and 5 minutes of prayer. It's called the first, it's 15 minutes a day. I challenge you to do that for 21 days. 21 days. And then come back and tell me it doesn't make a difference. That's how you break habits, but that's also how you restart good habits. You see, God changes our heart, but we must crucify our habits. God changed my heart. The day I received salvation, He changed my heart. The day I made the decision on my front porch to say, God, I'm yours, He changed my heart. He changes my heart daily most of the time. But I had to make the choice to put my habits, the bad habits, up on that cross and crucify them and say, no more. Put them to death. Crucify means to put to death. It means, and so I had to crucify those areas of my life. This is what I call the freedom equation. This is your freedom equation. God will change your heart, but you must crucify your habits. So let's look at foundations of strongholds. Remember now, strongholds form and solidify as we come into agreement with the lie. All right? When we come into agreement with the truth, that's strength. When we come into agreement with a lie, that's a stronghold. Okay? So number one, here's the foundation to strongholds, all right? This is where you begin to recognize, hey, where does that crazy thing come from? Where did this thing derive from? Why is this existing in my life? Why am I battling this battle? And it's going to show you that, but here's the other thing I wanted to show you, is if I individually make the decision tonight to begin to battle this thing the right way through a relationship with Christ, okay? It's not only am I identifying why I have them, but I want you to identify, hey, this is what I can do so I don't have to pass them on anymore. Amen? All right. So, number one, they can be passed down and taught to us by our parents, grandparents, and loved ones. Listen, just because your grandmother said it doesn't make it right. If you ever met my grandmother, you would know that. She was, well, now my ninny, I'm pretty sure she may be Jesus' secretary. She's not. She's his treasurer. But my other grandma, no. Listen, just because your dad taught it, your dad did it, your mom taught it, it doesn't make it right. Okay? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. My dad taught me a lot of bad habits. A lot of bad habits. Okay? Number two, they can be built within us from deep hurts or wounds we have received. Proverbs 17 and 22 says this. It says, a broken spirit dries up the bones. No, nobody wants dry bones. That means they're dead. That means there's no life in them. Proverbs 18 and 14 says this. It says, a broken spirit, who can bear? Who can bear a broken spirit? We were not built and designed to live broken. God didn't build us to live like that. He built us to live a fulfilled life. That fulfilled life comes only from Him. He wants to destroy that broken spirit and replace you with the life-giving spirit that is Jesus Christ. That's what He wants to do in us tonight. Number two, they can be built. Oh, I'm sorry, number three, I apologize. Number three, they can be built within us by judgments or the inner vows we make towards others, ourselves, and God. Now, I'm going to camp out here just a second. I think this is so important. I want to go ahead and give you number four because these two tie hand in hand, okay? Number four says they can be built within us through the words that people speak over us. Come on, somebody. Has anybody ever spoke something over top of you that wasn't life-giving? Hosea 10 and 4 says they speak mere words with worthless oaths that make covenants, and judgment sprouts like poisonous weeds in the furrows of a field. That's the power of judgment. That's the power of these inner vows. And then four,
is basically that's the sticks and stones thing. That you always heard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is garbage. Sticks and stones, I fix a broken arm. Words can kill people. When they're spewed over and spoke destruction over the top of us, it brings death in areas of our life, condemnation, hopelessness. It brings an emptiness. Words are so powerful. And here's the crazy thing about them. Once you speak them, you can't retrieve them. That's the reason why God says, he says, be quick to listen, but slow to speak. That's the reason he gave us two ears and one mouth. So if we will quit speaking so much and listen more, we'll get a lot further. I'm still working on that. Still working on that. But look here, guys. I made this inner vow about my mother at an early age because I was one of the kids in school that, hey, when they had the Valentine's party, and this, hey, this is going to sound petty, but this affects children. I didn't have a mom coming up there to help because my dad was working just to try to take care of us. I could sprinkle my grandmother in there every once in a while when she had time, but I didn't have a mom rooting me on at the football field or the baseball field. Most of the time, my dad was working. You know, I was always catching a ride with a friend or this or that. And I made an inner vow to never be like my mama. I said, I'll never in my life do what she did. To the point, I did exactly what she did. But here's what God taught me in that. See, this is why we can't point fingers no more. This is why we can't look at that person and blame them no more. This is why. I wrote this down. It says, I says, I made an inner vow to never be like my mom and never do what she did, to the point I did that very thing. I put such a judgment on my mom for what she did, but I never considered why she did it. I never stopped to think, why and how can you do that? All I did was pass judgment on her to say, you were supposed to be my mama, you were supposed to be there, but you never was. You destroyed me and my brother and my dad. You destroyed our family, and I will never, 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 never do what you did, and I did exactly what she did. I walked out on my wife and kids and destroyed my babies for a season. You see, I never considered why she did it. See, she was bound up with a stronghold from pain that was caused by others in her life. But I didn't know that. I didn't know the hurt that my mom went through until I got older. And does it justify it? No, but here's the thing, is I put so much importance on what she didn't do that I quit focusing on what I should be doing. And it destroyed the things around me. But guess what? That day I stood on my porch and I threw my hands up and I said, all right, God, let's try it your way for once. Remember, guys, this was only 5 years ago, 4 years ago. This wasn't a long time ago. I said, you know what? Let's try it your way. You know what I did? I made a decision that my mama never made. And that day I made that decision, guess what? I stopped that junk from rolling down to my kids. I stopped, didn't even know it, and I stopped it. Here's the crazy thing about it. A year later, during a series of events, my brother, I had seen my mama in 18 years. My mama didn't even know my kids existed other than a postcard. And through some series of events, my brother went and saw my mother and dealt with some things, all right? And now I talk to my mom almost every week. God restored my relationship with my mother. You hear me? Why do I tell you that? It wasn't my mama. It was me and my brother saying, all right, we are going to say, you know what? The past is the past. What does our future look like, Mom? What does our future look like moving forward? Because God didn't hold it over you. Neither can I. God doesn't hold it over you. He doesn't hold it over the people that caused it. You have a decision to make today, encounter.
Are you going to quit looking over your shoulder in your past at what someone else did to you and make the decision to be different today? Are you going to make that decision to say, you know what? I'm going to rise up to the occasion. I'm going to take the higher road. I'm going to be the bigger person. I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to forgive so I can move forward. So what I had to do, and it's one of the most freeing things I've ever done in my life. Bubba Bonner, how powerful it is when you forgive someone. To change your life, won't it? Or will it change yours? That's what I had to do. I had to destroy this inner vow that I made never to be like my mom and say, you know what? God, let me be like you today. And I remember the conversation. My mom called and she says, baby, I'm sorry. I said, listen, you're forgiven. I don't want to talk about the past. It's behind us. What I want to talk about is the future. Make that decision today, whatever it is. Whatever inner vow you've made to your mama or your daddy or to yourself or to an ex-husband, an ex-wife, an ex-boss, an ex-situation that is destroyed. Whatever inner vow that you have made that says, I will never, ever, 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 ever do that. Say, God, what can I do today to be more like you and move forward in this? Because God wants you to be freed up from it. And I did not realize how much bondage and weight I carried from what my mom did to me. But the most weight that I carried was what I didn't allow God to do in me because of what I thought she owed me. That's heavy there. And they can be built within us through the words that speak over us. I had so many people tell me I couldn't for my whole life. In so many areas of my life. You know when it started changing for me? Is when I finally began to align myself with godly Christian community. If you don't think Christian community is not one of the most powerful things, powerful tools that God offers us, you're missing out. And I began to walk hand in hand with some brothers and sisters that didn't just say, Justin, you can do it. They said, you know what, I believe in you and I want to do it with you. And it's changed my life. So I don't let people spill and spew poison over me no more because I am a son to the Creator and the Most High God. Amen? You are daughters. Cindy, you are a daughter to the Most High God. Sister, you are a daughter to the Most High God, and He has found intrinsic value in you to the point where He says, you know what? I'll lay my life down for you daily. That's how much value you have in the King. Because when He looks at you, He says, that one right there, that one's mine. She belongs to me and I love her. That's what He says about all of us. So when someone speaks that poison over you, I told you, all you got to do is put it up against the Word. And the Word says we are perfectly and beautifully and wonderfully made. We are made in His image. He says, I crafted you and knew you before you was even in your mother's womb. He knows the hair on your head. He made your thumbprint unique and no one else is like you. If God wasn't thinking about how special you were, why would He make you one of a kind? Sarah, you're a one of a kind. He made you one of a kind for His purpose. So how do we pull these jokers down? How do we pull them down? How do we pull down and demolish these things we call strongholds? Number one, guys, you got to acknowledge it. This is the hardest part. You got to be willing to look that yourself in the face and say, you know what? I got an issue here, and I need to deal with it. I've got a stronghold here, and I want and need freedom from it. Then number two, you got to identify it. You got to know what it is. I had to identify. But just because you identify who it is and that person's caused you pain does not mean that you hold this animosity toward them. Now, I'm not saying that some of you are. And listen, that's okay. God will meet you right where you're at. God's not telling you how you just got to forget it all right now, walk away. That God doesn't say nothing about forgetting. He does say about forgiveness. And forgiveness can be a process at times.
And we're not saying, hey, if you leave here tonight and you don't just forget all about what's happened to you and these wounds you're carrying around, and if you just and if you don't leave it here and you take it with you, then you're not successful. No. But tonight you're hearing the truth of a process of how to begin this. And God has this amazing thing called an encounter retreat to help go into even more depth and take you to more layers that you've never thought possible in a walk with Christ. And if you truly, truly, truly want to experience Jesus Christ in a unique way and freedom in a unique way, do not allow nothing to hinder you or miss this opportunity. You're not just investing in the kingdom, guys. You're investing in yourself. You're investing in your family. You're investing in your future. You hear me? You're investing in your kids. You're investing in your community. It's an investment that will not return void, I promise. I make this promise every time, and y'all have heard it, and we stand by it. Go. And if you leave and you're not changed and you don't experience God, we will give you your money back 100%, and we'll pay for your gas. But I know if you'll ever step foot on this beautiful facility that God has designed and set aside for his children, when you leave there, it will be everything you can do not to tell everybody about what happened there. It's that life-changing. And then number three, confess and repent of your sins of unforgiveness. John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Listen, this does not mean to get this microphone and stand on the stage and air your dirty laundry. That is not what that scripture means. But God is calling you to evaluate yourself, be willing to discuss it, and to find that person that you trust. Find that brother or sister in Christ that you're willing to sit down with, to speak around and around the table, because this is a judgment-free zone. So we're fixing to give you an opportunity to do this very thing. If you look in the back of your books on Appendix D, it's our final exercise for tonight. It's strongholds and wounds exercise. Okay? I just want you to reflect on tonight's teaching. I know for a fact, because I have felt it come off of my spirit, that God has spoke to some of you in a strong way tonight. One of the most powerful things that you can do is take it from here and transfer it to paper. My wife taught me that. And you put it in front of you, guys and girls, and write this thing out. And allow God to begin to move, because we want to identify our wounds. What are the strongholds that come from it? And then what are the habits and behaviors? And my wife has taught me this. I challenge you to do this. Do it backwards. Do it backwards. Start with habits and behaviors. If you don't know what the wound is, start with habits and behaviors. Start writing your habits and behaviors out. Just a real quick one. Habits and behaviors. I overeat everywhere I went and had to have food at everything I did. Stronghold was I was addicted to food. The wound was I found comfort in food because I didn't find comfort at home. Does that make sense? So we're going to take some time at your tables. We're going to turn some music up. And if you need us, we're here. Rushing
as we wrap up tonight, I just want to encourage you to take this home with you. It may be one of the, and I know it's not homework, and I know it's easy just to take and throw it on the kitchen table, but listen, if you're serious about this, take it home with you. And spend some time in prayer and allow God to continue to speak through you and reveal to you these areas, because we don't want to leave them dormant. We don't want to leave them locked up. We want to be able to deal with them and identify these battles we're going through. And so I encourage you and challenge you and petition you to take this home. Spend some time in your quiet time with God and pull this out. Look at the, go back through the material and ask God. Say, God, just what is it in me that's hindering me from that deeper that deeper walk with you? Imagine the Mississippi River. Okay, I love rivers. And imagine, it's one of the most mightiest, powerful waterways in the United States. All right, and in some spots, it's several miles wide. But imagine if it was only 3 inches deep. It loses its power, right? Now it's just a flooded field, per se. The power comes from it being deep and wide. The more time we spend with Christ, the more time we dig, the more time we allow God to work in our life, we become deeper and wider, and we become more powerful for the kingdom of what God's calling us to do. And God's calling all of us to grow in depth and width. So I challenge you this week to set a set time with and show up consistently and see what God begins to do in your life. Remember, next week is our last class before the retreat, guys. Amen. Hey, it's exciting. It's our last class. We'll have a meeting at the end of next week for the retreat. My wife will naturally lead that. Please, guys, regardless of if you put I'm going, not going, I hope everybody is saying they're going. Please turn that in, guys. We have to have numbers. It's not necessarily the money. We have to have numbers to begin so that the camp can prepare to feed us and to lodge us. And so we need to be able to have those numbers in. So please turn your survey card in to your table host. We love you guys. I am going, Ben Watson, if you will, step up here and close us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just an amazing time tonight, Father. And a lot of us are leaving here tonight with some heavy hearts. And you've made a lot of promises that we know we can claim. And so, Father, I know how we feel tonight. Tomorrow morning we may feel differently. And I know that the devil is going to do everything he can. Satan's going to attack us to where we can forget about these commitments we're trying to make. And I'm praying the blood over that right now tonight, that tomorrow morning we get up refreshed, we're ready to face the world, we're ready to face the challenges, and we're ready to deal with these strongholds. God, we love you. We're excited about what's going to happen next week, and especially what's coming up in 2 weeks at the retreat. We're going to give you the praise and help us to be saved. In your name we pray. Amen.
See you guys next week.